So, in 3 weeks, what's happening?
Election.
Election time. I hope everybody is registered and praying about the election. No matter how you vote, you should vote, period. But I hope all believers pray and vote the word, vote biblical. Because I believe we'll be held accountable for how we treat our freedoms here in the United States and how the freedom to vote for leaders. We vote for people that lead this country. And sometimes we have godly leaders, sometimes we don't. And I think as many men and women who profess to be Christians in this country, I don't think a large percentage of them vote. At least, I think the last election, a lot more voted than ever before. So I'm praying that a whole lot more vote this time. Vote biblical and moral positions. Find out. We should research candidates, see how they stand on things. Not just the presidential, but senators, local congressmen, state congressmen, state senators, Supreme Court, state Supreme Court justices. Because we vote on them here in Michigan, and they hold a lot of power within the state and concerning state issues, just like nationally the U.S. Supreme Court holds a lot of power in this nation and how they consider things constitutional or unconstitutional. So it's up to us. It's up to the people of the Lord, people who call the Lord by name. We are called by His name. We should be voting. So, amen. I guess enough of that. So, Father God, I pray that your hand is on this nation.
Amen.
I am thankful that you do care about this nation. And Father God, I have watched two wonderful prophecies of the last week, and two varied different people, different areas of the nation, and their prophecy was very similar. And I must say, for myself, personally speaking, it was very encouraging. I just pray that people pray these things into existence, because I believe the United States has the hand of God on it.
Amen.
And I believe the Lord is going to do a work in this country. And I just pray, Lord, that you move within your people. And you give us a boldness to reach out to people about Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the only answer to this country's problems. And I pray your people called by your name recognize that and exercise their right to vote and to be bold in their testimonies to everyone about Jesus. So Father God, we thank you for this freedom that we have. We thank you for the privilege of coming here and worshiping you and praising you and lifting the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for such a wonderful and awesome Savior is Jesus, in whose mighty and holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So let's worship the Lord.
Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy, Lord, to be praised. We thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. We give you glory today, Lord. We've come to exalt the name above all names. Father, we come just to name who you are, to proclaim who you are. For you are the Holy One of Israel. You are the bright and morning star. You are the rose of Sharon. You are the horn of oil. You are so worthy, Lord, worthy to be praised. You are Sidkenu. You are our provision. You are our provider. And we thank you, Father, and we bring honor and glory to you in your precious name. Amen.
If you're about this morning, please turn to Psalms 133. I was in my living room, and I was asking the Lord what word he had for this coming Sunday. And he kept saying that he wants to unite his people. If any time we need to be united is now. And he gave me this song to read. Starting with verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen.
That was so appropriate of Psalms to read because he is asking for unity. He is asking everyone to come together and to lift up his name, because truthfully we have the answer, and that answer is Jesus. And that's why I loved talking about what took place in Washington, D.C., to see all those different denominations come together for one purpose, and that was to pray over the United States of America. And most of you know I took notes on it, and it was just for the beauty of our nation and how blessed we are and how there is that shift taking place in the atmosphere for unity, for peace, for faith, and for love. And God gives us hope. What else could we ask for? Amen? I mean, I even looked at the attack that was on President Trump, and I believe it was an attack. But you see, God is the great healer. And he was healed, and he is healed, and we pray over him and his cabinet. We need to do that on a daily basis. We need to pray for our leaders. It's so important to do that because we're commanded to do it. I've been doing a series on Nehemiah, and it's talking about building the wall. The wall of Jerusalem was destroyed, and we are going to be moving into Nehemiah 7. But I always like to review, because I don't know about you, I don't remember everything throughout the week. And unless I go to the podcast and spend time in it, I don't remember everything. So when we read chapter 1, it talked about how important prayer was, how important it is to pray and to fast. Now, truthfully, I can tell you this. I've always heard of different excuses being given. Well, I have a medical condition and I can't fast. Well, he didn't say you had to do, you know, a 20-day fast or something. Maybe he just wants you to fast something that you like. You know, it could be, I'm not trying to be off the wall, but it could be a juice. It could be skip lunch. It could be all kinds of ways that you can do a fast. Unless he's called you to a Daniel fast, that's a whole different ballgame. Or if he's called you to a larger fast, you know, that's something that is totally different. But it is important that you, when you fast, there's a purpose of it. It's not to lose like 5 or 10 pounds. What the purpose of the fast is that you die of yourself. And you're before the Lord. And you're in his presence. And he can speak to you because your flesh always wants to do something different than God's plan. And so sometimes, I love telling people this. We learned that in chapter 1, but I'd like to say this, if I may, is You know, sometimes we can have ache or pain or it's hard to get up, and we need to profess out of our mouth, nah, I don't think so. I'm already healed. It's like you have to take that stand and you have to constantly proclaim it out of your mouth. And that sounds so easy. Because there are days that, you know, like if I'm in a chair and I've been in a certain position for a period of time, or I have my leg up or something, I'll use me as an example. It's hard for that knee to bend and for me to get up. But I know that I've got to get up. And so I do that and I say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get up. In Jesus' name, I'm proclaiming that I am healed. So Satan, back off me. You have to speak to yourself. And Nehemiah spent time in prayer and fasting and seeking what the Lord wanted him to do. And I really want you to hear that. Because this part of us, the body part, always wants to do something ahead of him or do something that maybe he doesn't want. We have to know that when we pray and fast, it's of him. And the second thing that we learned in chapter 2 was that we had to get positioned. Because if you don't get in a proper position, you're not going to learn his strategies. And I was so amazed, because I'm going to get kind of choked up and emotional here, but when the Lord started giving me the vision for the warrior bride and stuff, every day he's given me a little bit more. Every day he's showing me something. He's showing me how his bride has come before him. She stays filled up with the holy oil, stays filled up with the word of God. And she goes into his chamber and she learns his heart, because that's what he's looking for, is to change our heart. He wants us to learn strategies from him. And we need that. We need to hear the Holy Spirit. For a couple days, the Holy Spirit started downloading strategies to me that I was to give to the people that would be coming for the conference, and to talk about different anointings and different mantles that was out there. So as Joe and I were watching TV, or maybe we had praise music on, I don't really remember, but I was just writing down and writing down and writing down and writing down. And the Lord ended up giving me 7 anointing mantles that he is going to place on people as they come to the conference to prepare them. They are strategies. They are mantles. They are to carry you, because you can't do nothing without him. And so anyways, Joe and I had so many plans, you guys. And I said, Joe, I got to do this. And if you don't know me, it's like I needed an administrator. I need a person that's going to type. I can get all these ideas, but to put them all down on paper, I don't know how. I can't do it fast enough. It's kind of like ding, ding, oh, drew, got to erase that. Ding, 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 ding. You know, it's not like it flows, you know. And I'd watch Vicki or I'd watch Diane and they'd go, bing, 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 bing. They could just flow. It's really a gift. It's a gift. And so anyways, I was doing this, and there were different projects that had to be done at home, you know, because we're in the fall season. And I'd say, oh, Joe, I just need 5 more minutes. No, I need half hour. No, maybe 2 or 3 hours would go by. And I'd get it prepared. And what I'm trying to say is, that's what he wants to do for you. He wants to prepare you, so that you're ready to be out there. So we learned that in chapter 2, and I'm seeing it happen more and more. And then in chapter 3, we found out that at the gates, that's the entrance of different areas, that's where strongholds are. That's where the enemy is at. So if you don't have the strategies, you haven't sat down and picked them up from the Lord, when you get into that gate, you know, you might just go, well, I'm going to pray about a person who's addicted. Well, maybe nothing will happen, because the Lord didn't tell you what the root was to what was going on in that, over that particular gate, over that way. Does it make sense? So what I'm saying is, we learned that. We learned that that God wants us to flow in unity. I think the hardest thing when I'm not talking about me, when we moved to Northern Michigan, was every church thought that they had it all together. And that every church has a call from God. But what God is asking for right now is unity. He's asking these churches, all of us, including Hilltop, to get off of our agendas and to come and lift his name up. And how do we pray for this area? What plans do we do, and how do we move together? The next thing that we learned about was, in unity, there is a greater way that his strategies can work. You know, for example, I don't know if you even got what Joe was saying. You know, I get this vision from the Lord how to set up these secret places that have a meaning to them. It's not a decoration here in the church. And so I'm trying to give that to Joe. And poor Joe has to work alongside of me and get it. You know, and sometimes the Lord would download that a flower was supposed to be here or a shield was supposed to be here. And the lion is roaring right now. There are angelic beings that are being sent all over the earth right now, greater than they ever have been. And so you can't do it by yourself, but when the Holy Spirit sends that angelic host to be around you, it equips you. It helps you. They're stronger than you. It's nothing for them. And so anyways, what Joe was making a comment was, he was trying to do it in humor, was, oh, you know, he couldn't put that flower there, or he had to flip this up, and, you know, I got these doves to fly here yet, and, you know, it's kind of like, is that my phone talking? And so the hard part is, when you get that vision from the Lord, and then you try to put it into action, it is hard. So what he did was he drew all of his people together, and they were in unity, and they got the walls put up. That's chapter 3. So see, it kind of parallels today. Are you kind of with me? Mm-hmm. And in chapter 4 is that, like when the Lord gave me that we were going to do the conference here, there are many people that are in fear. Even when we went to Traverse City and did the Isaiah 61 conference, most people's churches are not open, and they're not going into places except the grocery stores. And I saw it so bad, and the Lord talked to me how fear has taken over the land. And when there is fear on the land, you can't hear from the Lord and you can't go forth. And so what we learned, which I thought was so amazing, was that when they were doing the wall, they kind of got fear in them. You know, people were attacking them. People were telling them that they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. And it wasn't just coming outside from the enemies, the outside world, I don't know how to put it. It was actually coming from within. Within building the walls, within each other. And it's really a good leadership tool to show that, because when we first started this church, there was just conflict in the music, and there was conflict in this. Because, you know, no one was wanting to be obedient to the Lord in order to come under leadership. Or they were here for another purpose other than worshiping the King. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. When you become unified, when you put fear behind you, when you call upon the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish anything. Isn't it good? I'm telling you, this is good stuff, people. I hope you woke up. Chapter 5 of Nehemiah was talking about how to resolve conflict within. I mean, truthfully, Nehemiah could have picked someone within the walls, and they could have taken those people out that was causing so much conflict. Come on. Oh, we got our little delete buttons on the computer. Don't have to deal with that. Delete. So what I'm trying to say is, there are proper channels to go to. There are particular people that God puts in order or puts in place for you to go to. And if God hasn't given you the strategies and the ability to counsel someone that asks you a certain question, you should go to the proper person within your church to help you out. Because all of us think we're counselors, we know it all, and we got a plan. But that might not be the plan that God has for that particular person.
Amen.
I remember there was a season that we had quite a few alcoholics at our church. I hit it many times, different things that were going on. But I truthfully didn't know how to counsel a person that was an alcoholic. I really didn't. I didn't know how to help them, and I'm just using this as an example. And so I seeked an outside Christian counselor to come to the office and bring the people to the church to help them to come over their addictions. And I kept it very confidential and very quiet. Sometimes we're just not trained in a specific area, and we have no business doing it. I believe that what we were seeing here is that in order to resolve conflicts in a biblical way, there are people that you should go to that are trained in that area. Isn't that good? That's what chapter 5 is about. Chapter 6 talked about resisting the devil's schemes. Sometimes, I think the hardest thing I ever had to do, I was sharing this with Vicki, was just to say, no, I'm not doing it. Because I was always a person that would, I want everybody to be happy, I want everybody to be successful, I want all this. And sometimes you can be taken advantage of. And truthfully, I feel that my husband Joe is stronger in that area than I am. I think he has a greater gift than that. And I really still do, and I will always proclaim that until the Lord takes me home, is that Joe makes some decisions. I go, why did you do that? Why, you know, and I question it. And his response is, was I supposed to? So whether people understand it or not, there's always that covering over you to protect you from things that are going on. And I'm thankful for that. And I would say in our 41 years of marriage, sometimes that's a conflict between Joe and I. But I really feel that there's a purpose that he does it. Do you understand that? And I believe that, I know that there's a couple men here, and I believe there's a big responsibility on men to take care of their wives, to take care of things, to become the head of the household. And I think it's just the commercials, the media really cut down men, and that's really a shame. So that brings us up to Nehemiah 7. And when I looked at Nehemiah, have you guys turned to it?
Yes.
When I looked at Nehemiah 7, I said, Lord, get me killed. There were so many people, there were so many tribes that were mentioned. It just went on and on and on. And I just said, oh, Lord, I can't get into this. This is way beyond me. And if you got a Bible, if you just look at it, it's just amazing, you know, what goes on in Nehemiah 7. But you know what? This is what the Lord showed me. Everybody's important. He's got a destiny for all of us. We all have value. And he remembers family. You know, like with what was going on with the podcast, thank you, Sarah, and my grandbabies that are on. I just want you to hear that, you know, like they're listening to the podcast. That's who called. So when you can't get to church or certain situations are happening, and people are listening to the Facebook and podcast line, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, you're getting into households you'd never get into.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that my grandbabies, of course, kind of like their grandchildren now because they're getting older, as my Ian would tell me. But I'm very thankful that they would listen to us. So let's look at Nehemiah 7. Then it was when the wall was built, and I hung the doors. Now remember, the doors were the last thing you put on, and I can understand why, because I could never hang a door. When the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites have been appointed. That's just verse 1. Now, I remember when Joe and I, there was no opening here, and Joe and I put those doors up there, and he'd say, oh, I got to have a shim, and you got to move it to the right, Maria, move it to the left, and we're, oh, you know. And he'd put this shim in there, but kind of hold it, because I couldn't hold it, and he could put the hinges on. Well, these doors were bigger than those doors here in the sanctuary, so it gave me an understanding that it was the last thing that was put on. I can understand that. In their heart. And then, after they got hung, it says, when the gatekeepers, the singers, the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother, Hanani and Hanalah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. This is what the Lord told me when I read that. Have you ever noticed how preachers have their family so involved? Because the family have their heart, and so they'll leave their son in charge. Like, if I could put it this way, it's like I was sitting there thinking of Hagee, John Hagee. He's in his 80s. And so his son was learning and stepping up to the platform to preach and to take over, and his father could kind of back up. Can I say it that way? I like the words. So many times pastors choose a family member to preach the word. When we had this place dedicated to the Lord, Susan Bauer told me something from the Lord, and she said this, guard your pulpit. Guard your pulpit. And I thought that was nice. I would. And the more I prayed, the Lord showed me that whoever stood at this pulpit had to be of him, had to know him. So when Joe and I have to go downstate, because that's where my family is, or our family is, there's someone that the Lord placed on our heart to be able to trust, to speak the truth, and to preach the word, and that was Vicki Schwartz. And we think of Vicki as eldership. We think she studies, she prays, she seeks the face of the Lord, and we can walk away knowing she's going to do the best job that she can do, and the Holy Spirit can fall on her. This is exactly what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah put his brother in charge. Isn't that powerful? So it kind of gives you an example of this. When it comes to praise and worship, working side by side with me, the Lord has blessed me with Karen and her talents. And so we can walk away from this church knowing Karen will do her best. If she sang from this mic all by herself, she would do it. Those are gifts that God has given to Hilltop, and I'll take those lightly. And so I know, and I know Joe knows, that Karen has our heart. That's what happened here. His brother had his heart so he could leave Jerusalem with him, Do you understand that? I think that's a powerful lesson. Church done. No. There was two enemies that were within. One was Sanballat, which we've talked about before. And Hananiah knew all about him. And let's go to verse 3. And I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. And I want to explain that to you. That is the mantle of Issachar. Issachar was a tribe, one of the smallest tribes. And Issachar were watchmen on the wall. So what does that mean for us today? The watchmen on the wall are the people that come here on Tuesday and pray and intercede for other people. For 7 years, however long we've been here, we've always had prayer at this church, and it will be number one. Because unless you seek the face of the Lord, you're doing things of your own accord. So you need to have watchmen on the wall that are observing things that are going on that might not be of God. And I remember when we had a person that was staying here at the church trying to help that person out, that there was a lot of traffic coming in and out of this church. And I go into the dollar store, and this lady comes up to me and she goes, what's going on at your church? There's a lot of traffic coming in and out. This person doesn't even come to church here, but they know what's happening all the time. We had a neighbor that came over when we were putting up the new sign, wondering, what are you doing? Are you leaving? And we put up the new sign, but yet they noticed. So what I'm trying to say to you is you might not realize the eyes that are right here on Hilltop and what we're doing, but there are watchmen on the walls. That's what happened here, watchmen on the walls. Now, let's go on. Now, the city was large and it was spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not all rebuilt yet. Verse 5, then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a new register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return and found it written. So it goes through this whole thing, genealogy. Now, this never meant anything to me. I don't care about genealogy. I don't mean it in the wrong way. It's just I don't know. I love my grandparents, but I don't care who their grandparents were. I don't care. I've just never cared about stuff like that. And my daughter, she did all these, what's the right word, Joe? She did all this research about all of the people on Joe's side of the family, my side of the family. I think she went all the way back to the 1600s. And she liked that, and it told us a lot of things about our family. But this is what the Lord said to me. You are leaving a destiny. You are leaving something. If you were to be taken home tomorrow, what have you given to your sisters? What have you been given to your brothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents? Are you kind of hearing me for a minute? What about your children? What about your grandbabies? What about other kids that are out there? What have you done to give them a legacy of who you are and what you believe in? You know, this is what I feel. I feel I'm thankful that my kids are believers, but I always ask the Lord this. Lord, let me do things right in accordance with your word and glorify your name so that my grandbabies will carry on, that they will know who he is. Because this younger generation that is out there is looking for truth. And the Lord is always wanting to check our hearts, to check us, to check your mouth. If you swear and use the Lord's name in vain, there's something that you need to clean up. If you're a person who is an abuser and you just, you know, take people out, or you have anger issues or whatever, you need to check that out. In order for the Lord to purify all of us in the church, we have to be willing to get into his presence and give it to him. Are you with me this morning? Mm-hmm. Because the whole point is that the Lord can purify our heart because he loves us. He's the only one that can change us. And when he changes us, he does it out of love, not out of criticism. Mm-hmm. And so when he loves upon us, hey, you blew it. Let's get up the next day and make it a better day and not do that sin anymore. That melts my heart. That someone loves us that much and gives us another chance and another chance and another chance. Because he loves us that much. So the whole goal is for us, our hearts, to get purified. So what? We can be that light out there to the world. We can be that salt to the world. We can give the world hope. Why? Because Jesus is in us. Because Jesus has worked on us. Isn't that good? So the genealogy is important. Please forgive me, because it goes on and on. All the way to 72, I think. Verse 72. And then verse 73, it says, so the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, and the singers, some of the people of Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Isn't that powerful? Everybody was in the right position. And I really felt that what that meant is that everything was in order. I have to ask that to the Lord all the time. Lord, help me put things in order as you want it. That's why he said they hung the doors, they got the gatekeepers, they got the singers, they got the Levites. Everything was set right. Do you kind of understand that? So when you're in leadership for us today, I'm saying, Lord, where's my administrator? Lord, where's the one who will teach the children when they come? Lord, where is this person? Where is the helper? Where is these different things, you know? And it's like when all these things come together, then it's in proper order. The singers and the Levites were there to lead the people in worship. I am so thankful that my husband is out of his comfort zone, guys, to come up here and pray and play those drums. Now, I don't know about you. I say thank you, Jesus. And I think he's getting good and good and good. To lead the work people in praise and worship, Kieran and I sing and we float off each other. And we try to do the best that we can do, and I'm thankful that Kieran has been dedicated and been here and comes here every Sunday and puts up with my garbage. And truthfully, I bawled her out today, and she took me into the office and said, what did I do to tip you off? You see, she goes, boop, 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 it's in and out the door, and I ain't coming back. And we could be together in the office, let it go, hug on each other, and it was over with. Don't you think, Karen? You see, that's just because she's got her heart. So, to worship, is important. To lift up his name. Like, honestly, if you've been here, I told you that there are people that just do the hymns. There's nothing wrong with the hymns. And they praise him. We praise him. We all here praise him. Thank you, Lord. Glorify your name. I lift your name on high. You're worthy to be praised. But when we go to worship him, it's personal. It's like, if I may, it's like when, out of all the songs that we sang, the one that got to me the hardest was the Eddie James song, Let Me Be a Temple of Prayer. Let me be your house of prayer. I got so lost last Sunday when we sang it. I knocked this totally off, didn't even know this was gone. Because I had my eyes just worshiping him. And I've had people say, well, you know, you should be in control all the time. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be in control. When the Holy Spirit comes, he just takes over. And in fact, when we were doing the drums, I was hearing angels singing along with us. That I don't know if you guys got it out there or not, but it was powerful. It was powerful. You could feel his presence. You could feel a heavenly presence. That's worship. It's when you're not worried about, I don't even know what my hair looks like. You're not worried about your hair and if you got it all together and whatever. That's you. In order to be in worship, you got to be lost. It was like to worship him can also be that way in prayer. When we prayed for Karen last Sunday, the Holy Spirit was so powerful in here that if you had anything wrong with you and you didn't come up front, that was your problem. Because she went down without a catcher. She went down, and I was explaining this to Vic. I could just feel, oh, the Holy Spirit, because we're his vessel. We don't have no power. I could feel his power literally coming out of my belly, and I almost fell right next to her. That's how powerful. That's worship. Worship is giving your all, and that's all you're doing is coming into his presence, and he takes over. I've been in services, like I told Vic, there's that song we do, Cloud by Night, Fire by Day. And I understand that because I've taught on the Old Testament. I love it.
Yeah, Cloud by Day, Fire by Night.
The Old Testament is so powerful. It just talks about his, that's all about his presence. And I remember being in many church services that his glory would come into the room, and I'm telling you, you couldn't move. You couldn't move. Because when the presence of the Lord is there, there's no words to explain it. You can be part of his glory, but the glory belongs to him. Yeah. It's him. People can put on a good show, or you can enter in. And when you enter in, that presence and that glory will fall, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I felt that off and on this morning when we were singing. And that's one of the things that he did. The singers and the Levites were there to lead the people in worship, and they were to rebuild the worship. Are you hearing me on that? With greater glory and greater freedom and greater victory. How powerful is that? You know, I have to be really someone who I'm not, and that's when I had to take authority from the Lord who was going to be up here on this altar for praise and worship. Because when I could hear disunity, when I could hear worldly things, when I and I don't even really know worldly music, and a person came up to me and said, oh, so-and-so is playing worldly music, putting Christian words to it. I went, oh my gosh. I didn't even know it was a worldly song. I really didn't. And I think God honored that. But I confronted that person because of it. So the first attack that ever comes in a church, ever will come in Jerusalem, is with the singers, the worshipers, the praisers, because they go before the army. So my purpose, even for this conference, is on Friday, it's going to be powerful. We're going to worship and praise the Lord and do battle. And those singers go before the army. Is that not powerful?
Yeah.
Come on. Every victory in your life and my life should take us deeper in praise. Truthfully, I'm hoping next Sunday that we do nothing except praise Him. I don't want to preach. I just want to praise Him. We can take these songs that are already here and just worship the King. That's service. I love that. I'm looking forward to that. And praying. And if you're not praising God more and more deeply with each passing year, then you're not going to have much victory. Woe is me. This is what I'm going through. This is how I hurt. And those things are legitimate, but you know what? It's kind of like Vicki and I said, take it to God and leave it with Him. The problems that you got, give it to God. Your prayers are not less effectual than Joe's and mine, or Vic's. You can go to the Lord yourself. Start doing that. Start going deeper in Him. Start letting your faith get deeper. And in the tough times, what I have found is that when I get bitter, when I get sour, when I get nasty, when pressure comes upon me, I have to go get in His presence. Otherwise, I'm going to take you up. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. He gives you an attitude.
And it gives me a real attitude.
No, I'm saying He gives you an attitude.
Yes, He does. And He really helps me that way. And I have to do that. So if you ever see me up here in the chairs, it's trying, I'm seeking His face. Or I'm in the chairs here, I'm seeking His face. Or I'm in the office, I have to do that. And when I get really ticked off with something that even happened in my home, either I go get in His presence, or I'm taking the roof off. Or do you hear me? So what God is saying is that He will give us the victory the more we go deeper and deeper in Him. Isn't that good? I like that. That's what seven's about. And the other thing that I put down here is, I wanted to mention Hananiah for a minute because that was his brother. But it says he was a faithful man and he feared God. You know what I find today? You don't fear God at all. I'm just going to do my own thing. Are you kidding me? One thing in the world and one thing in church, don't you think, Joe? We can't do our own thing. And I wrote this down too. You know, God isn't asking you to be a perfect singer. He's not. I mean, I've sat next to people and think, oh my gosh, that is awful. And the Lord said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. It says to make a sound, a shout unto mm-hmm. me.
Namely, a blast of joy.
A blast of joy. And Joe and I have heard over and over and over again, excuse me, I've done it. Joe and I have heard over and over again that that is what we need to have the victory, is we need to have that joy. And Joe and I were listening to this one gal. She was just so cute. She was probably like 32, 33, kind of my kids' age. And she was talking about the dance of joy. So I tuned her in, found out I already had the book on my shelf. But the dance of joy was letting yourself go, dancing before Him, and just worshiping Him. And it was so precious because I hear more people say, well, I'm a private person. Well, I ain't different. But when it comes to praising my God, when it comes to worshiping my God, I'm letting go. I don't care what you think. I don't care if I don't have the right step. I don't care if I'm a little bit loud. I just love praising the Lord. I want people to know, for every person that's in here, and I want to encourage you this morning, when you walk into the room, does it change the atmosphere? Isn't it powerful? I can truthfully tell you, and I'll end this way, that God is faithful. He does things in His timing. And when we talk about fear of God, that's not talking about being scared of Him. And the other thing that I put down here is, what anointing do you have? Can say to you that the different anointings that I'm going to talk about on Saturday, I've had every one of them at a certain time. I want you to think. I want you to do some studying when you go home. What are some of the anointings that the Lord has for me? Because you can't stay with the same old, same old. He wants to increase that anointing. So spend time studying that. Spend time, even on the genealogy if you want. I got page and page and page of it. But the one thing I want you to know is this, that you're to have unity, you're to trust in the Lord, you're to have victory. The more you worship Him, the deeper that you go with Him. He's looking for that. And I feel that that's what this whole chapter was about. And I want to be sure I covered everything that's in my heart here. And I think you also need to look at is, how do you rest in Him? To rest in Him doesn't mean to be lazy and do nothing. I'm finding that out all the time. To rest in Him means that you find time and you get in His presence, and you trust Him for the answer. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to start out that conference with that song about resting place. Because He's looking for a place to rest. And can the Lord touch you? Can the Lord trust you with all that He has to give? Isn't that powerful today? Mm-hmm. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this chapter. I thank You that the walls are guarded. May You guard our walls with Your angels. May You guard our walls, Father, when we come to You. Father, I just lay this before You, Father. Work on each person that is here and each person that is listening, and encourage them, Father, that they can be the bride of Christ, that they can be the church, that they can hold that anointing oil, and they can be the light, and they can be the truth. And Father, that they can be in charge of different things that You want them to be in charge of, and that they can do the best job that they can do. Place watchmen on the walls of their life, Lord God, and trust every one of them to know their position, who they can go to, who they can trust. And I thank You and I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.